Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, lead pastor, the Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
We're going to take our scripture from Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts 5, 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, daily in the temple and in every house. Praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Somebody say, daily ministration. One more time, say, daily ministration. Praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Praise the Lord. What did they do? They searched the scriptures daily. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be talking about the importance of fellowship. Part 2. In the book of Genesis, God reveals himself to us as a more relational being than a professional being. So daily he visited them in the garden and spent time with Adam and Eve. And we also learned that one of the greatest strategies of the devil is the strategy of isolation. That's why he separated Adam from God and spiritual death occurred. So Satan hates fellowship. Whereas God came into the garden in the cool of the day to visit them on a daily basis, share fellowship with them. Satan was doing everything possible to ensure that fellowship between the Creator and his creatures was hampered and negatively affected. I'm praying that by the time we are done with this particular discussion, your fellowship, koinonia, relationship, communion with the Lord will be better than before. That amen should wake up from sleep. Now, the scriptures we have read, they are very important because they let us understand in Acts 5:42 that daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So the church in the New Testament was a church that met on a daily basis to share fellowship. And when they did that, as part of that daily fellowship, they taught and they preached about Jesus Christ. What did they do? So the daily fellowship of the church, at the center of that fellowship was Jesus Christ. If we allow other things than Jesus to be the motivation for our fellowship, the daily fellowship will not work. Daily fellowship can never work when your appetite for other things is higher than your quest to share fellowship with the Lord Jesus. That's why he says that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. Praise the Lord. Bible says that unto him shall the gathering of the saints be. So there is the mindset for us to share fellowship with the Lord on a daily basis in the temple and in the houses, because there were house fellowships. So these were churches in the homes. But they did that also where there was opportunity. They did that in the temples. Praise the Lord. Are you here at all? When the COVID came, some people began to push an agenda that meeting physically for fellowship was no longer important. or was not as important as we have thought it is. And so many people find comfort in staying at home watching online than physically sharing fellowship. We understand that there is no distance in the spirit. We understand that you can have experience watching online or even watching an old tape, like you watch Kenneth Hagin's tape. You were not there in the 70s and all of that, but you can still be blessed. Praise the Lord. But the question I want to ask you is that in those days, the people went to church and the cameras captured them sharing fellowship so you can watch. The next generation, which people would the camera capture sharing fellowship for them to watch? If this your bad attitude of staying away from the temple is what it means for you to be in the kingdom. And so we have to understand that the faith we have is a faith that has been handed over to us, and we are also going to hand it over to someone, some people. And the Bible says that it is an unfeigned faith. Say the word. That means that from generation to generation, it has been handed to one generation to another, and it has not changed. It has not been diluted. But if we are not careful in our time, we will hand this faith to a new generation fully diluted and downgraded. Because when it comes to very serious business, you will understand that you don't give birth by long distance relationship. We cannot teleport. We cannot transport. We cannot transfer the sperm via Bluetooth. You don't get pregnancy by Bluetooth. There must be some organic movement for babies to be born. Praise the Lord. That's a primary way. Praise the Lord. Of course, there are IVFs and all those ones that can blah, blah, blah. But how many people? It's so expensive. Even if it were cheap, you will find out that, Charlie, the chances are higher organically. So, the woman of God is explaining deeper. There's always a deeper explanation to what I'm preaching. Praise the Lord. So, please understand that fellowship is very important. Now, in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, so when they met in fellowship, they shared Jesus. They shared about Jesus. They preached, they taught about Jesus. You see, you can hear preachings about Jesus, but you also have to hear teachings about Jesus. When we preach, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Come to Jesus. It's preaching. Declarative, declaring truth. But for us who are custodians of the mysteries of God, we need to have a better understanding of the processes that lead a person to be saved, which has been secured by Jesus Christ. That one does not come by preaching. It comes by eating, sitting, and being taught. So that you can teach your generation that when we say Jesus saves, this is what he has done. He became substitution of sin for man, took upon himself the sins of man, gave us his righteousness. When he died, was buried, resurrected, and then now, the man who has received Jesus Christ, his sins have been remitted. And he's received an imputed righteousness that makes that person stand right and pure before the law. So there is now therefore no condemnation. That one, it's not by preaching, shouting, jumping, declaring. We have to do some Christian makranta. So if you are the type who is always trying to come for fellowship because you feel it, or because I have some prayer to pray. I have some, you know, Jesus said, you people are here. There are people who are here because of bread. Jesus said it. I'm not talking about the kippers. Kippers, no one is here primarily for bread, even though God will give us bread. Say amen. Amen. But Jesus said, these ones, they are here with me because of bread. And all the time, when you are looking at the scriptures, you have to look, especially with Jesus' experience, you have to look at the two categories of people that Jesus is always addressing. He's always addressing the crowd, and then he's addressing the disciples. And you see that he teaches very deep mysteries to the disciples after he's dealt with the crowd. Because the crowd is always shallow. It's a mixed multitude. So he just preaches simple truth to them. Then he comes back and explains in details to the disciples, because he was grooming them to become his feet and voice when he physically left. So they needed to have that capacity to be able to impart the knowledge of Christ to the whole generation. That's why Paul said that when I come into you, all I seek to do is to preach Christ and him crucified. Are you here at all? Are you sure you are here? Yes. The crowd doesn't preach Christ and him crucified. The crowd preaches, I have seen a savior. Like the Samaritan woman, he goes to announce to the whole city, I have seen a savior. He told me about everything about me. Are you here? But when the crowd gathered, Jesus now began to teach them properly. So the issue is that there are people who are in Christ and who want to still remain in the crowd. It's a sign that you are not growing. To remain in the crowd means that you make yourself a Sunday worshiper. Somebody is offended, but I'm still preaching this message. But I'm preaching the mind of God. Just what you're telling me, I may capture it or not. Yes, that's you have decided that as for me, I'm a Sunday worshiper. It's a decision you have made to remain in the crowd. So you are never part of the 12. And even when Jesus opens the threshold to bringing more disciples, to sending them the 72 by 2, still you find out that you are farther away from any kind of selection. Because all you want and know is Sunday service. Maybe I don't go on a pay. Sunday, they're not there. Not there. And it's very convenient. You were born going to church on Sunday, and that is all you are doing. No Wednesday, no Saturday prayer. All I'm doing is that Sunday. That's a very slow way of grooming yourself as a child of God. And you will find out that with time, it will have a serious impact on how you view God. So really, it's difficult to see somebody standing in the pulpit because the person is a Sunday church goer. It doesn't happen like that. Just ask anybody who is a pastor, who is a deacon, who is a very like impactful believer impacting other people. Their lifestyle of fellowship was not just Sunday going, church going. It has to be more than that. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody, it has to be more than that. Yeah. The church in Acts is the post-resurrection church. That's the real birth of the New Testament church. And the Bible makes us understand in chapter number 6, verse 1, that there was a daily ministration. They met daily and they set tables to minister to widows, give them bread and all of that. But the point is that there was a daily ministration. It's important that for us to grow and grow well, we eat on a daily basis. It's important we must have that consistent fellowship. To be, imagine that when they met, symbolically they preach and eat. So fellowship is for eating, not necessarily physical food. But as you are listening to the word of God, you are feeding your heart with important substance that will save you when you come under pressure. Because many people come under pressure and what comes out of them is emptiness. Because the heart will always produce for you what you have invested into it. So if what is there is baller, yes, in the time of pressure, you will see that you don't have legs. Everything there is rubbish. That's why you think about committing suicide. You think about, maybe let me sleep with this person and get small money, and then I'll give God's portion and I'll keep my part. You begin to have all manner of no leg. Because you have not eaten well, because your core is just knocking at your door. Hey. Look at somebody say, hey. So, we have to go into some few things. Now, one of the reasons why we need to pay attention to fellowship is because Psalm 6 verse 1 to 3 teaches us that David, he said, oh Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy what? Hot displeasure. Verse 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. Next verse, he said, my soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? This is the psalmist petitioning the Lord. And in the petition, if you read the whole chapter, you find out that this psalmist was a great man of God, but he was tired and almost depressed. Tired and depressed. And at the center of that tiredness and depression was the fact that he was lonely. He was lonely, he was cut off. And you see David, he was chased out of town. He went to, you know, another place, feigned madness, and was just cut off from his people. He will be dead. You say, oh God. You know, if you see a man after God's own heart who is so close to God as a prophet and a priest and a king at the same time, praying this kind of rubbish prayer. Look at the kind of rubbish prayer he's praying. Put the verse 1 there. Oh Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. God was not angry with him. There was no time that God was angry with him to want to kill him. Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. When you become lonely and you just cut off and you are not feeding well, you just begin to have deep ideas about God. Maybe what I'm going through, what have I done? Maybe God is not happy with me. But sometimes it's just a process. But because you are not putting yourself in fellowship, you begin to redefine different things about the process as if God is after your life. Look at him. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Charlie, you can be weak, oh. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. You can be so weak when you are cut off from fellowship. And you see that in God restoring him, he brought people around him. They were not great people. These were indebted people. These were people who were themselves, they had problems. But that fellowship in Adullam was the beginning of David's restoration. So sometimes you may not even like us here. We are gossips. We are not nice people. But I'm telling you that fellowshipping with us is still better than keeping yourself away from the fellowship. Yes. Let nobody lie to you that you can just stay in your corner all your life and be a functional believer. It doesn't work that way. You can be a believer, you will not be a functional believer. You will find out that, Charlie, there's a reason why there is the sun and there's a reason why there is the cold. And God is not stupid. If he said that, forsaking not the assembly of the godly, we quote that scripture, then you can't keep yourself away. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody, fellowship is very important. And tell somebody that when you are in fellowship, it does not mean you are being brainwashed. Because you are not stupid. You are not stupid. You see, in our time, I see people sit on television, people who don't love God, who hate God. There's no problem with you being anti-Christ or anti-God for whatever it is. There's no problem. You have chosen that you don't love the God of the Christians. But to sit there in the foolishness of your mind, thinking that everyone who is a Christian has been brainwashed, is the lowest any human being can function. Because even us who have a scripture in our Bible that the person who hates God is a fool, we don't normally quote that scripture for someone like you. Yeah. So for people to just sit and just take the Christian and just hit him to the gutter, take him to the refuse dump and take him here and take him here. Wow. And when we see the caliber of people who say the things they say, sometimes I wonder how you are sitting on your high horse, dying, and still you are seeing life. So if you are not careful, you also have this ideology that if I'm a Christian, it means that I don't have a mind of my own. I have been brainwashed. When in this house, and mostly it's about either your faith in Christ or something that has to do with your money. Thank God that in this house, nobody is interested in your money. Come and serve God and go. Where is the brainwash? Like, where is the brainwash? People are giving their monies to political parties. That one is not brainwash. When you are sick, can John Mahama pray for you to be well? John Mahama. Or Akufo-Addo. For real. And you know, it's interesting that the people you follow politically, they will run to the pastors, and you will insult the pastors. Then you have somebody holding microphone preaching and he says he can ground Christianity in 10 days. Go and bring your whole generation. You will see that everything will pass away, including you. We will be here when your time comes for God to redraw you. We will be attending your funeral. Then you will know that you will not be able to stop Christianity. Christianity will outlive you. See, you don't remove ancient landmarks. You can never be wiser than what is written. So when the Bible says that we should be fellowshipping, Charlie, respect the Holy Spirit and know that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Don't try to redefine things for God. Keep them as they are. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Are you here at all? Instructions, status, and commandments. Just follow them. It surprises me how from generation to generation, people have failed trying to ground Christianity. And yet, in our own time, with that history in view, there are still people trying ever so hard and failing in a grand style, and still they feel like this is it. Wow. One day I was here, one Muslim chief from one Zongofa, he said the child is going mad, that he has taken him to all his malams. It's not working, but he has been watching me in this community. He has seen that. It was December, 30th December or 31st. He said, Pastor, you are my brother. This is my son. They want to kill him. Pray for him. Car park, I'm a bumper and I'm calling you from sorry, I know I am clear. No, they never call you. You day there and be insulting God. I grow away this. Please listen. When I have a lot of Muslim friends. I love them. Yeah. So I'm saying, Abraham, we are brothers. Praise the Lord. Listen, one of the reasons why we have to be fellowshipping is the fact that ministry pressure can make a pastor desire death more than life. The pressures of life can make you want to die than to live. Look at Jonah. Jonah chapter 4 verse 3. Guy was running away from God and God just trapped him in the belly of a fish. And as he was there, the Bible says, in fact, let's read from verse 1 and get to verse 4. It said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly and he was very angry. Can you give me the message? Message translation, yeah. It said, Jonah was furious. He lost his temper. Verse 2. He yelled at God, God, I knew it. When I was back home, I knew this was going to happen. That's why I ran off to Tarshish. I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered, rich in love, and ready at the drop of a what? A heart to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness. God was very angry that God was going to forgive the people of Nineveh. Many Jonas. So God, if you won't kill them, kill me. I'm better off dead. This is Jonah talking. God said, What do you have to be angry about? Pressure. He just didn't want to do ministry. So not wanting to do ministry, the thing has just begun to pressure him. And he said that, when if you had killed them, there is no need for anybody to go and preach to them. Just kill them. Then there is no message that needs to be preached. The pressure can get to you. Yeah. Sometimes when the pressure gets you, you want God to unilaterally, out of his sovereign power, just do some magic. Yeah, I know God, you have power. I know you have power. I don't understand why you will not give me a miracle pregnancy. I don't just kill my boss and let everybody be fine. Or this man that has broken my heart. I don't understand why you will not kill him. Ministry and life's pressure can make you desire death more than life. It happened to Moses. It happened to Jeremiah. Moses cried there. He started saying nonsense to God. These people, are they my people? Did I give birth to them? Yankupo said, okay. Wabra, odi Abraminkum, afe no opacho. Now, just say, I'm telling you, and one of the reasons why Moses got into that realm was the fact that he was very lonely. Very, very lonely. He didn't have people he would normally fellowship with. Aside maybe Joshua, and you know, especially when Abihu and all those other people misbehaved for bringing them Abiram, those people bringing them close by, the guy decided that actually most of the time I will spend time with God. So he was mostly cut off. And even when he came to the congregation of the saint, Moses was not like Joshua who would be doing boys with them. No, Moses is the real man of God, a clear prophet. No fellowship with the brethren. So when the depression set in, quiet. Yeah, and the thing is that, yeah, when you cut yourself off from the brethren for a long time, you lose your touch of humanity, even when you are dealing with divinity. So that's how he was emboldened to say the things he said. God, power, who do you think you are? Why will you put this kind of burden on me? Did I give birth to these people? Look at the way they are screaming and shouting. They need food. And then, BPL baby, I'm winning, so. Yeah. But there is, my pastor used to say that human beings, we are energy based product. So we share energy. We transmit energy one to another. Ecclesiastes says that when one is cold, one will offer warmth to the other. There is a way that when you are melting down, the best plan is to come out and relate with people. And most people, once they are melting down, they say, I want a me time. That's why your mind is very close to psychiatric space. Yeah. You see that most people, when they are beginning to break down mentally, one of the remedies will be that get family around them. Is that not so? They need to relate. Then the normalcy of the group will start helping them to measure up. If they are there alone, they will do it. You see that the hallucination will be increasing and it will be getting established. You see, I said, because until you can your better voices. Yeah, and those voices will not be balanced in the head. Because it's human beings that can balance the voices in your head for you. Then they put you on antidepressant. Yeah. To calm down the heat. There are many people in church, their brain is overheating. Because you are only a Sunday church attendee. Yeah, that's why mostly you are overheated. Sorry, Sunday to say, and then we pray and we dance together, and you see that your brain's temperature comes down. You begin to, that's why you wonder, why is it that when I come to church I think well, but once you get to Tuesday you skip Wednesday and you start thinking bongo man. Hey, yellow man. crazy woman. Somebody put your hand on your head and say, God, have mercy. You see, in Mark chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, look at what Jesus did. Mark 9, 1 and 2. We can read it in the King James and then we read it in the Message. He said that, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Verse 2. It says that, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. So here we see Jesus choosing three of his disciples. He was going to pray and he was going to encounter God on the mount. He took three of the disciples with him to share fellowship with him. And on his transfiguration, you could see that he was still sharing fellowship with them, even in the glory. Because they came and said, Master, send yehu adiano. Okay, let's build three tabernacles for you. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for yourself. So even in glory, he was still relating with regular men. Sometimes if you are not careful, you will feel like, because I'm climbing in the anointing, let me cut off from people. But even as a transfigured person, Lord, he was still conversing with them. He said, oh, Charlie, Peter, you people, this three tabernacles you want us to build here. No, this one, as you are seeing it, is the beginning of the greater glory. So we can't even build these tabernacles here. They will be useless in tomorrow. Now you will see another glory and you will be wondering, why did we even build? So he took the disciples so that he will have fellowship with them. Yeah. Fellowship. Even Jesus. He used to go to the temple every day. Bible says that as his custom was, the same for Paul, as his custom was, he used to go to the temple every day. Tell somebody, you need to build a culture of attending church services anytime there is a service. Tell them. And tell them that is what Jesus did. That is what Paul did. That is what the disciples did. And ask them, are you a disciple of Christ? If you are a disciple of Christ, then that is what you ought to do. It's powerful. Is it not powerful? Jesus sharing fellowship with the brethren. Fellowship is important. I have friends who are very anointed in ministry, and you can see when a pastor grew up from a local church, you can see, because pastors grew up from different places. Elijah is coming from the wilderness. We don't know where he's coming from. Do you understand? He can be called from the bush, maybe a prayer mountain. Then straight away, you just go and lead the people. And it's part of the call. But you will do yourself a world of good by going into a local church to learn and, associate yourself with local church dynamics. Or else, you'll be pastoring at a dimension that is cut off from the realities of it. So most prophets are surprised about how their supposed church members behave towards them. And they begin to see the ministry as a very difficult thing, because human beings, they don't understand human beings. They begin to, it's like, I pray with you, you have breakthroughs, then you forget me. Then when you draw them closer, because the prophet always wants to be alone. So when he draws few people closer and they begin to behave like Judas, behave like Peter, wow. Every time a prophet is surprised. Because when you are not a shepherd of sheep, you don't understand the characteristics and the behavior of sheep. Yeah, you can't understand. But Bible says that, you see, Jesus was never surprised, because Bible says he knew what was in man. And he called himself the good shepherd. And you could see that he had built capacity to deal with anything the sheep could bring on board. He had a rod. He had the staff. But he said, sheep need to me ya kwasiano. And so he's designed his rod and staff even in a way that chalice amanano a way and I mean to me come on the funny corner man so about sheep there is all time in a bimo. Yeah. Sometimes you are sitting with Judas on the table now and say, open tema kwaya bone. Open tema kwaya bone. It shouldn't surprise you that after all night someone has a date with somebody's husband. It shouldn't surprise you. If you're a local church man, you understand that prophecy does not change anybody. It is the Holy Spirit that changes people with time as the word of God enters their heart. Now you are prophesying people out of prostitution. I grow in Israel. Rahab never stopped her prostitution until she came into fellowship with the Israelites, when she was included in the journey. We never hear about her prostitution again, because the people would change, things would change when you come into fellowship. The same way when you come into fellowship with the Lord, you begin to receive transformation of his nature. In your nature, when you come into fellowship with the brethren, you begin to conform to the family DNA. Yes, that's why you are not helping anybody you are trying to bring closer to the Lord if you are not introducing them to the family. Yes, because the family has a culture, the family has character development values, the family has energy. Yes. So you are there and yet you are feeling like a prophet. They are surprised. That is why no prophet has a big church. Yes. Because you are mostly cut off from people. And for a prophet, the more cut off you are, the better for you. And because Because sometimes information can confuse revelation. And if you're a genuine prophet, you don't want to, no setup, you understand? But sometimes you have no choice than to pastor the people. Because if I'm pastoring you for 20 years, I've worked with Alex for a long time. Yes. More than 20 years. Do you understand? Are you here? But I should still be able to hear the voice of God. Because you see, hearing the voice of God is not hampered by familiarity. Then who's off one? One tiapo. The member can hamper the flow of the anointing to them by not valuing the anointing. But what you do for the member there is something you receive vertically from the Lord. The member has no role to play in that equation. So I'm receiving from, if I know how to receive for a stranger, I should know how to receive for a familiar person, because it's not operating at that level. Problem is with this horizontal level. And between myself and the member, is the member who stands a chance of losing because he's becoming familiar. Therefore, he's losing value for what can help the person. So when you say somebody's around you and you can't hear God for them, be here. So for own tiapo. When you like a fellowship in a home. Because some pastors are afraid to fellowship with people because, you know, sometimes when you hear a falsehood for a long time, it becomes your reality. Sometimes when you hear a lie, you know, one of the lies that was told for a long time is that a prophet cannot typically pastor. Nyano kreda, yanchire wo bibia wo Bible. Whether you are a prophet or you are an apostle or you are an evangelist or you are a teacher or you are a pastor, the common call is that we are all shepherds. Yes, now. Like, why? Were prophet not pastoring the Israelites? Samuel pastored Israel. Are you here with me? So, like, what is the truth in the... Once you have some word of knowledge or prophetic grace, you just jump out of the window of shepherding. You are not interested because they will tell you that if you sit down to pastor, you will lose that whatever. It's not true. It's not true. Ain't the prophet, my dream refuge. And know that having fellowship with people will not do you anything. You need discipline. In every fellowship, you need discipline. Hello? Am I preaching to somebody now? So, as a church member, you will crumble if you disconnect from the fellowship. You crumble. Bible says, one shall chase 1,000. Two shall chase 10,000. In case you 2,000. But as 10,000, because Ecclesiastes said that two are better than one. They have good reward. They didn't say they have reward. Good reward for their labor. When we come together, I'm telling you, you have no idea what God can do. Sometimes a prophet doing deliverance with one person, the anointing is there, but may struggle, but let it be in the congregation. Let all of us pray. We are praying now. The demon just goes simple. Because all of us are praying. Praise the Lord. Are you sure you are here? Are you sure you are here? Tell somebody there is something you have to offer. So don't take yourself out of the fellowship. Because somebody is coming to church to receive something that God has abundantly given you. And your absence is a major loss to the kingdom. Can you clap your hands and bless the Lord? Let me quote this scripture and then we will put the matter to rest. We'll continue another time. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. Hebrews 10:25. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is so. He says that some people have a manner of forsaking the as You know, being part of the togetherness, the assembling of the brethren. Some people have that manner. And it's a mannerless living if you're a Christian. It's not a good manner. It's not a good mannerism. It's not a good behavior. Praise the Lord. Because even your redemption, you have been called into fellowship with him. You have been engrafted. Engrafted, though. That's, you are a guava branch, and then you have been engrafted into a palm or a mango for it to feed into you. Are you here? And after a while, you will now begin to produce fruit, and you can also feed into something. Even though you are a guava, you are now receiving from mango life to bear fruit. It's a fellowship. Don't cut yourself off. Tell somebody, don't cut yourself off. So you see us coming Wednesday like this. I look forward to church here. Sometimes even more than Sunday. Then Saturday. Yeah. I don't see how you will be complete behaving the way you do. Being a Sunday church member. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. As the days approach. As the day approach. What day is he talking about? As the day of his coming approaches. He says that don't do this. Don't forsake the assembling together. Assembling together. When you are watching online and you have opportunity to physically be here, it's not assembling together. No. Together there we can touch ourselves. Especially if you have the opportunity to be here. There are people who due to location do not have the opportunity to be. I mean, this week an American military man came to see me. He says he's been watching me even in Kuwait. He will just be watching me, and so he took a picture and he sent it. He said, when he goes to America, he'll be the most important person. He met Pastor Francis. He knows everybody here. All the singers, he knows everybody. He said, when we announced that LP Flora was going to marry, they were sharing among themselves, have you heard that she's going to marry? And we don't know them from Adam. Yes. So she landed at the airport. Nah, the nurse available, whatever. Nah, let me go and see this thing. Fidochi Gadochi. Feely. What thing crying, huh? What the Ghana, huh? Yeah, power, chawa, and sawa. Look at somebody say, hey! What the Ashali Boche Haya? What thing crying? What's here? What? In the picture ticket, your papa went in the number, Germana. Unshiameda. And on new se a binwo konabisa. So wow. Just walk continued in or do one on sana. Chenchamanatewa say. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody, don't forsake the assembling together. Say of ourselves. You see, the joyful thing for me about this verse, there are two. One, that the scripture seems to be either commanding or encouraging us not to cut ourselves from fellowship. That means that fellowshipping together is the will of God. Praise the Lord. The second thing that I'm enthused about this scripture is the ourselves. Yes, because sometimes when you look at a very good pastor like Pastor Minso Tabel's congregation, I have come by door. But what God has given you is ourselves. So ourselves, you will be we guy to say chamber pot. So, and no, nay, ourselves. And this is our family. To family, no, we'll be inside chia kura. Also family, no. And no. It is what? Ourselves. Is that ourselves? Because sometimes we really don't like the wig. That notwithstanding, that's the wig of a family member. The wig is not the most important. The most important thing is that it's a family member. And the value of that person is more important than the wig. So that ourselves, you know, is so important in the test. That is, you will not always find that ourselves in a perfect state. Some of the people we may have to fellowship with, we may be gossips. It may even be a danger just relating with them. Just God should give you wisdom. Praise the Lord. Some of the ourselves, you know, once you start giving offering in church now, savings and loans, but it is still what? Ourselves. Some of our family members, they are coffers. Do you know a coffer? A drunkard. Some of them have verbal diarrhea. Yes, they just talk anyhow and talk plenty before they think. Some of ourselves, they are insolent and arrogant. Some of ourselves are moving more bomb. Yes, some of ourselves, there is play on their eyes. The English is that agro omeniso. That is some of ourselves that we have. Some of ourselves, some of ourselves, they talk more than they act. Yes, or the idea sitting in our babans, young choir on your tongue. But that notwithstanding, it is what? Ourselves. Some of ourselves, they are divorcees. Some of ourselves, they will propose to this one, break up, propose to this one, break up, propose to that one, break up, but it is still a family member. Some of ourselves are drug addicts, but it is what? Ourselves. But do not forsake. See, and Paul say, if you are privileged to be standing strong and standing well, let us help to hold together some of ourselves that are weak in our midst. And in holding together those people, that means that remove whatever escalates their flaws and weaknesses and lend them some capacity or strength. When you are dealing with an ourself who is a gossip, don't entertain talking about somebody. Let's just talk about ourselves. Praise the Lord. Is it Matthew 18, 20 or 2018 that says that where two or three are gathered? It's 18:20. What makes the fellowshipping and the gathering together of ourselves a beauty and powerful and potent is Jesus Christ. For where two or three are gathered together. You see, this one, it shouldn't have been good English. Assembling together. Because the essence of assembling is bringing things together. So, for it to now bring the together, it's like it's making double emphasis. It's the same here, two or three are gathered. Because you don't gather, it's gathering is not scattering. So, if you say gathering together, it's just placing double emphasis. And gathering is so important to Jesus. Even when he multiplied bread, he told them, he said, Charlie, gather the surplus. Gather, he said, 100 sheep were going. Then one just veered off. He said, go gather them. Every time, gathering is important to the Lord. Because unto him shall the gathering of the saints be. Praise the Lord. So when we gather, Jesus is the central focus of our gathering. And what makes that gathering also easier is when you have Jesus in you. Because Adam will be running away, hiding behind tree when God is coming, because he's lost that connection with God. If you don't have Jesus, gathering with the brethren will be difficult. So what really gives you the pull or the push to the gathering is Jesus in you. Yes, that's the force. That's the magnetic center. Once you have Jesus in you, gathering with the saint will not be difficult. But when you don't have Jesus, you want to be hiding behind tree, your job, your new relationship, my children. You hide behind things that they are important. The tree is important. That's why it's in the garden. But it can't give you life. Tell somebody, your marriage is important. But it can never give you the kind of life God wants to give you. Your children are important, but they won't give you life. So where two or three are gathered in his name, we need Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And when you have Jesus and you are really tabernacling with him, one of the things that Jesus in you will do is that he will lead you to the gathering. So you should question yourself when you lose appetite for the gathering. It's a sign that you are losing love for the master. And we know that you can lose your first love. Revelation chapter 2. First love, first works. Are you here at all? First love. When a baby is born, the first love for the mother makes the baby clingy. As he's growing and his other variables are coming into the head. Now you see that. So to be two girlfriends, none of you are free, mommy. Lucy first love and the first works, you know. Now when he sees strangers, the mother crowd can take the baby to a friend's house. And then when you're five, we take that one to a friend's house. Your money tough in one or two, maybe half a day, and Lucy first love and the first works, you know. When you are maturing, you know that you don't have to overstay your welcome in someone's house. It's a sign of growth to keep yourself in fellowship where fellowship is required. If you are not careful, you will remain a baby, 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 and you lose your first love and first works. Tell somebody that we need Jesus. Oh. If your hands are yours, let's just do it better unto the Lord. Praise God. Clap your hands. Bless the Lord. Oh, give him a better clap offering. Lift your hands. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the word. I pray for the appetite. For the appetite for your presence, appetite for the fellowship, appetite for the gathering together. First of all, say, Lord, I pray for the appetite for communion with you. Can you lift up your hands right now and say, Father, increase my appetite to commune with you. Open your mouth and pray. Come on now, open your mouth and pray. My appetite to commune with you on a personal level, on a daily basis, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Obing on all social media platforms. God bless you.